This shiur was given on site Daf Yomi period CO period IL and can be seen there. Just click video. I was invited as a guest speaker as a Rav from Yeshivat Shaar Shamayim. After a few words on the first Mishnah in the second Perek of Chagigah, I will answer the following 11 questions. What is Kabbalah? Where can it be found? 2. How can the Kabbalistic writings of the Arizal be categorized? 3. Why is Kabbalah so important yet not mentioned in the Torah or Talmud? 4. Who should learn Kabbalah? 5. Who should not learn Kabbalah? 6. How is Kabbalah part of the Orthodox world today? 7. What draws secular Jews to Kabbalah? 8. Can one learn Kabbalah on his own? 9. How do we deal with contradictions between Kabbalah and the Talmud? 10. What are the different approaches in Kabbalah? 11. What does Kabbalah have in common with the revealed law? I'm going back to the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the second Perek. En dorshim ba'arayot b'shlosha, v'lo b'maaseh b'reshit b'shnayim, v'lo b'merkava b'yachid. In our Mishnah, the simple understanding of the Mishnah is maaseh b'reshit and maaseh merkava, which we're going to talk about, these two things, are the learning of Kabbalah. And if so, we're going to have a very big question. How is it that Bet El, the yeshiva of the Sfardim, which was made 300 years ago by the Rashash, or Shaar Shamayim, which was built over 100 years ago for the Edah Ashkenazi over here in Yerushalayim, how do they exist when they have hundreds of Talmidim which had learned by them? How does that coincide with the Mishnah? The Mishnah seems to say that the Talmidim are very, very limited. Now, the answer to this is when we ma'ayin in the Mishnah itself. There's two questions over here. Why is it that it's mentioned ma'aseh b'ma'aseh bereshit, and also that same word b'ma'aseh v'lo b'merkava? And everybody talks that both of them are two different things, but yet what do they have in common? Ma'aseh Bereshit and also Ma'aseh Merkava. What do they have in common? What is the explanation to Ma'aseh Bereshit and Ma'aseh Merkava? Over here you have to look into the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura first brings a Pirush of the Rambam from Pirush HaMishnayot in Zduche, his Pshat. And later on he brings another Pshat, his Pshat. And he says that the idea of Ma'aseh Merkava, hu she'al yedei haskarat shemot shel kedusha mishtamshim baketer. In other words, the use of the names of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is called Ma'aseh Merkava, that is prohibited. The Tosfot Yom Tov says, on the same realm, he says that Tosafot, which brings Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam says that Ma'aseh Bereshit is the 42 letters, the Shem, the name of the 42 letters that come out from the first two psukim of Bereshit, of Chumash Bereshit. And he explains that the Rabbeinu Tam in himself, what he meant to say, what he wants to say, is that the use of these, of this name is prohibited. Ma'aseh, and that's why it says it twice. Ma'aseh and Ma'aseh. The use of this name, whether it be Membet or Tiyot, the use of that name, or the use of Yudke Vavke, to use it as Kabbalah Ma'asit, which is called the use of Kabbalah, is prohibited and very limited because of that prohibition It's very limited to the amount of people that are taught. But when learning Kabbalah in a regular stand, you are permitted, and that's why we have Baruch Hashem, those yeshivot that I have mentioned. And also you have dozens of classes in Kabbalah for beginners. In other words, not only is our Mishnah, from our Mishnah we understand that the learning, the teaching of the Otiyot, which is Kabbalah Ma'asit, is limited, but on the opposite, learning Kabbalah or teaching Kabbalah in a yeshiva is a mitzvah. Not only is it a wonderful thing, but it is mamish a mitzvah to learn Kabbalah in the proper way and the proper order. Of course, it depends on the person you hear the shiur from. It's very dependent that you should learn in a place, a kosher place. But if you, Chas v'Shalom, a person goes to Sedot Zarim, it's not good to go to anywhere else except for Devarim Shebekedusha. Now, in this shiur, I'm going to try to answer those 11 questions that you have on the sheet that you can see them. And if you want any other further information on Kabbalah, you can call harmoni.info to get further information on Kabbalah and learning of Kabbalah in your vicinity. As you see, there are 11, I have 11 questions listed that I'm going to try and answer in this shiur. The first question was, what is Kabbalah and where can it be found? That is the first question. Kabbalah has different names. It's called Sod, Sodot HaTorah. It's called Torah HaNistar. And it's called Chochmat HaEmet. All these are words that come to explain or come to depict the learning of Kabbalah. Now, as you know, in the Talmud, the Talmud consists of two things. It consists of a Mishnah. The Mishnah is usually very, very short. And that everybody learns that Mishnah, but yet, to a very small extent, is it really understood? On the other hand, the Gemara comes to explain and to expound on that Mishnah, and the Gemara is usually very, very long and very, very detailed. The same thing we have in Kabbalah. The Zohar is like the Mishnah. In other words, it's very concise, very small, very short, and the Kabbalah Ta'ari, the Arizal comes, his Svarim, or his things that he says, are coming as the Gemara to explain the Zohar, to explain the Mishnah of the Kabbalah. Now, even though I say that the Zohar is the Mishnah, and you can learn Kabbalah in that Mishnah form, but it's very concise. But you should know that the Sefer HaZohar, even though people think it's Kabbalah, the Sefer completely Kabbalah, it's not true. The Sefer is only about 20% Kabbalah. The rest of the Sefer is Midrashim and very nice Musar, that every person, even a Baal HaBayit who's not learning Kabbalah, can learn the Zohar. The Zohar, as I say, is only the maximum 20% of Kabbalah. But in that 20% is the shele, the skeleton of the Kabbalah. Over there, and the Ari comes to explain each and every nekudah which has to be explained in the Kabbalah. The second question was, how can the writing of the Kabbalat HaArizal, how can the writings of the Arizal be catalogs? I think if you look and see, I wrote a sefer at Perush and Tablaot on Eitzes Chaim that you see on that sheet. you see it, and on page 18, I was worked on that question, how to categorize the three different types of svarim which are in the Arizal, in the svarim. I came to a maskana that it can be categorized in three different fashions. One is the theory and the building blocks of Kabbalah. Svarim such as Oitzes Chaim and Etz Chaim. Those are the building blocks of the learning of the Kabbalah. In other words, you have to learn those very, very beginning Svarim, which is Oitzes Chaim, and some people would want to learn Etz Chaim. But I think it's much better to start with the Oitzes Chaim learning. And that's what I have done in the past many years. I have been giving shiurim in Oitzes Chaim for many, many machzorim in the Oitzes Chaim, from the beginning till the end. That is number one, the theory and the building blocks of Kabbalah. The second is the remazim, the hints of those building blocks of Kabbalah in the Tanakh. How can we see that? And we have such svarim as Shar HaPsukim or Shar HaLikutim, which deal with that, with the hints. You can understand after you know the theory and the building blocks of Kabbalah, you're able to see it in the Psukim. Of course, it doesn't end Davar Yotze Midei Pshuto, but HaMidrash is Nidrash. In other words, of course, you have end Davar Yotze Midei Pshuto, like it says, but the sod of the Torah, it's also Shevim Panim LaTorah, and also the sodot of the Torah are hinted in the Psukim. The third thing is the Shar HaKavanot. That is the maximum. The Shar HaKavanot and the Pre-Etz Chaim, the Mashal. In Ashkenaz, they only had the Pre-Etz Chaim. They did not have the Shar HaKavanot. And that's why the Magen Avraham, when he brings down the Ketavim of the Arizal many times, he's bringing the Pre-Etz Chaim. He's not bringing the Shar HaKavanot, he's bringing the Etz Chaim. And in those sperm, you find the kavanot of meditation, how a person in his mitzvot and his tefillah, how a person can meditate and find a better kesher that he has in his prayer through the meditation of the words and the Shemot HaKodesh. Those are the three categories that I think the Ketvei Ha'ari can be broken down to. Number three, why is Kabbalah so important, but yet not mentioned in the Torah or the Talmud? That is a sort of a hard question, but I'll try and answer that. Things that not mentioned in the Torah, you have other things which are not mentioned in the Torah, like reward, schar ve'onesh, reward and punishment in Olam Haba, is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah. But yet, it's from the Ikarim, it's from the Yud Gima Ikarim. It's one of the principles of the Yud Gima of the 13 Ikarim of the Torah, of the Yadut. But yet, it's not mentioned neither in the Torah. I think the reason for both things, why, and also Kabbalah is not mentioned neither often explicitly. It's not mentioned the learning or the doings of the Kabbalah are not mentioned in the Torah. The reason, in other words, that which something is not mentioned in the Torah does not mean that it's not valued. It's very valuable. Believing in reward and punishment or believing in Kabbalah is very, very important. But yet, it's not mentioned in the Torah. The reason for that, I think, is because the Torah only mentions things that are in our, we can precept, we can understand. But things which are really out of our realm. Everybody knows that we have a soul, but it's something that we cannot touch. We cannot, our body we can touch, but our soul, which is spiritual, is not known, and therefore the Torah does not mention neither reward and punishment, which is something very spiritual and out of our realm, and also it doesn't mention Kabbalah, because also Kabbalah be'ikaro is really something Torah of the heavens, and therefore it's not mentioned in the Torah. Number four, who should learn Kabbalah? That's a very, very big question. Who should learn Kabbalah? The first thing is that one has to be married and past 20 to start learning Kabbalah. If he's not able to fulfill that, these principles, he should not learn Kabbalah. Some even say that you should be 40 before you start learning Kabbalah. A lot of times when I try to get a lot of people learning Kabbalah, so when I speak with the younger light, so they tell me, well, they only learn Pshat, they learn Gemara and Poskim during the week. So they tell me, I'm not yet 40 yet. My beard is still white. So my answer to them is that if the Arizal would have waited to 40, we would have nothing from him. For he passed away at the age of 38 when he was very young. We would have nothing if he would wait for 40. So it's not kedai to wait to that age, late age of 40. The Shlach even says more than that. The Shlach HaKadosh in Asara Ma'amarot, Perek Aleph, says more than that. The Shlach says that every day after learning Shas to Poskim, that day you should learn Kabbalah. After you've finished learning Shas and Poskim on that day, you shouldn't put it off to the end of the week. You should learn on that day after you have learned Shas and Poskim. During that day, you should learn Kabbalah. But it's not practical today, especially for Avrichim, younger life, that are learning in Kolel. It's not practical, but Friday or Shabbat is an ideal day for that. You can put aside an hour or two to start learning Kabbalah. And that way, you will not have that problem of stopping, not putting enough time into learning of Gemara, which is, of course, learning Kabbalah. That's the reason why many people or many yeshivot shied away from the learning of Kabbalah, because it is dangerous to a certain extent. But like medicine, which is vital to a person, also, Kabbalah is important to a person's being. But an overdose is of course, could be fatal, has to be shalom. So, of course, it has to be done properly. In other words, during the week you learn Shas and Poskim, but on Shabbat you have set aside a time and an hour that you know that you're going to learn Kabbalah, and that's the thing, you're going to learn only during that time and no other time. That's when you're going to learn the Kabbalah of that week, the part of the Torah, the Chelek Sheni, which is the Nister call, by you it's going to be on Shabbat. And not every day like the Shlach says, or during the week, it's going to be only on Shabbat. Number five, I want to answer the question number five. Who should not learn Kabbalah? Who should not learn Kabbalah? I'll tell you. If you don't learn Gemara, you should not learn Kabbalah. If you're not acquainted with the learning of Gemara, and you do not learn it before the learning of the Gemara, you should not learn Kabbalah. Because Kabbalah is part of a ladder. The Torah is the ladder. The Torah is the ladder, and with that ladder you can go to the heavens. Your head, your body can go up the ladder. But there's no skipping steps on the ladder. When you skip steps, Hashem Shalom, you could fall. So that's why it's very, very important not to leave the learning of the Gemara and the Poskim. And even if you decide that you're going to do it, b'chol zot, even you're going to do exempt, you're going to do opposite what I say, you should know that the learning, your learning is going to be very, very shallow. Because if you didn't learn Gemara, whatever you learn in Kabbalah is going to be very shallow. Even if you're matzliach to learn it, you should know you're learning. If you don't know how to learn a Maharsha or a Tosfot, you're not going to be able to learn the Etz Chaim or the Otzot Chaim properly. It has to be done. First you have to go stage after stage. It's like in Cheder. You go, you send your child to school, first grade, second grade, third grade, high school, this, and then yeshiva, and then kollel. The same thing over here in learning Kabbalah. It has to be done by a person that went through those steps. And if you didn't go through those steps, don't start on that high pedigal. That high madrega, you should not start. Because you're going to end up with nothing in your hand. Number six. The question was, Kabbalah in the Orthodox world today. What is Kabbalah? How is Kabbalah in the Orthodox community? I'll tell you. 20 years ago, classes in Kabbalah were very scarce. This is going back 20 years ago. If you found a shi'ur, a class in Kabbalah, it was at 4 or 5 in the morning, before the Netzachama, before the Netz. It was hard, very hard to find a regular shi'ur, an evening shi'ur, or a daytime shi'ur. It was almost impossible. Today, you can get classes at all times of the day. So you see the difference between 20 years ago and today. In the past 10 years, I have given over 900 classes to hundreds of learners to us, that you can understand now the thirst of the learning of the Slimut of Kabbalah. And these are learners that are all B'nai Torah, Avrechim, whether it be from Mir Yeshiva or several different yeshivot. They come to me and they listen. They come into the course of learning of Oitzes Chaim, which I mentioned that I went through it many, many times. It was in these classes that I had did it. Number seven. What is your opinion why secular Jews go to Kabbalah classes? So it's very hard, Baruch Hashem and Zocher, not to be one of those secular Jews. So it's hard to get into their pants. But I'll tell you two things. Number one, even secular Jews, even a person that is not Shomer Mitzvot right now, he always has the possibility to come back to Judaism. And he definitely, everybody today believes and knows that we have a soul. Everybody knows that a person has also a spiritual part to him. Not only does he have a body, which the atheist almost many years ago was the only believed in the body, whatever a person could feel, that was in existence, but things were not understood was not
that people did not agree that it even existed. Today, it is not that way. Everybody agrees that there are things that are not understandable, and our soul is one of them. And therefore, since the Kabbalah talks about the spiritual soul, even the secular person wants to understand, wants to get into this limud. And that's why they go to the these classes. That's the first reason. The second reason is to come about and learn a Masechet Talmud, like Mechalel Shabbat. If he would learn a Masechet, like learning Masechet Shabbat, he could not possibly be a Mechalel Shabbat and learn Shabbat together. It's two things which are much too much. It doesn't go together, being a Mechalel Shabbat and learning Masechet Shabbat. So therefore, but when you have learning of Kabbalah, he thinks that there's no stira, there's no contradiction in his learning Kabbalah. So therefore, let me try and do that one. That's the reason why I think secular Jews go to Kabbalah classes. Number eight. Can one learn on his own Kabbalah? The answer to that, I think, is till a few years ago, you were not able to learn Kabbalah on your own. You had to go to a shi'ur or to a rebbe to hear him saying the shi'ur. You had to go in person to him to understand what's going on. But now, today, CDs or tapes on Eitz Chaim or hookups are all available, which make it also very, very possible for a person to learn Kabbalah even on his own. But of course, you should make sure that the CDs and you're going in are from people that are reliable and not get mixed up into the secular world. You have to be very, very careful that make sure that the person is from the Yeshivot HaKedoshot Be'eretz Yisrael, or from Yeshivot in America. But if it's out of the Yeshivot realm, don't touch it by a 10-foot pole. Don't go next to it. It also, going through the CDs on your own also has a different ma'ila. It has a ma'ila that you can go over it again and go over it again and go over it again. Masha'enken b'shiru, you're very limited to how many times you can go over in the shir, because you always have that to think about the other person sitting right next to you. So you can't really ask the rabbi, well, could you go over it? Could you go over it? Could you go over it? But when you're sitting alone with the machine in front of you and the CD, and you can keep on going and going and re-going and re-going on that same inyan. I think it's productive to do both. If you can, it's possibly done. It should be done with classes and with on your own. Both things are very, very important, because the classes are very important that you should have a background when you went over it yourself. Number nine. How are contradictions between Kabbalah and Gemara explained? First of all, you have to know that the truth of the matter is that there are different deists explaining that there is no difference, and that there cannot be a contradiction between the Kabbalah and the Pshat, the revealed law. These two things, there are no contradictions. The Gra says, they say, B'Shem HaGra, that or you have to be Me'ayin, you have to think in the Kabbalah world, or again, you have to think in the revealed law. You have to look at the Gemara again to see that there is, and you will see that there is no contradiction between them. To that idea, the Shloss says a very nice idea. He says, it's not as people think that there's two things. There's Kabbalah, there's Torah HaKabbalah, Torah HaNistar, and this Torah Hanikla, the revealed law. The Shlosh says that really it's all one Torah. Just that the Torah, the Kabbalah part, which we know in our day really, is the Torah of the heavens. And the revealed law is just an outshoot of that Torah, which is in the heavens, and therefore it can only be with an attribute. It's a toladah, it's a definitely descendant, and exactly the same thing as the Torah, Torah HaKabbalah. But yet, you have to know that these rabbis, whether the Shlah or whether the Gra, were talking in a very, very lofty manner. In other words, they were saying that there should not be, there is really not a contradiction. If you're able to ma'ayin, to look into it deeply. But ba'avonot harabim, we are not able to always look very, very to the deepness of the Torah. For that, and sometimes we do see that there are controversies on the Kabbalah, between the Kabbalah and the revealed law. For that, we have certain rules from the Radbaz. He brings down that if there's a mahloket between the Kabbalah and the revealed law, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, we follow according to what the Shulchan Aruch says. But when there's a mahloket, when there is a contradiction, there's a mahloket between the poskim, the Kabbalah will be machriya between them. Though that is one of the rules which are, these are two of the rules which are definitely utilized in the learning of the Kabbalah. In other words, you should know that it goes according to what the law is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. But yet, on the other hand, when there's a machlokes between the mefarshim and the halacha, in the halacha, the Kabbalah will be machriya, will do according to what the Kabbalah says. Number 10. Are there different approaches in Kabbalah? The truth of the matter is that there are different approaches. But let me first of all give you an example. You take the Jewish nation. It also can be broken down into three parties. The Litvisha, the Hasidic, and the Sephardic. But yet, they're all under one roof. They have something which, they're all part of the Jewish nation. They may be diverse in different places, because they were diverse in different places. There are these three types of Jews. But really, basically speaking, they are all one nation. In the Kabbalah, in the world of Kabbalah, it's the same thing. The Arizal, the Kisvei HaArizal, the writings of the Arizal, are the basis of all the Kabbalah. All approaches are agreeable that the Ari is the basis of everything. Now, in the basis of everything is the Arizal. Under that, you, as you see on your Masach, you can see that the different names, the different area, when they lived, the Arizal lived about 450 years ago, and he is the basis of all the approaches. Now, the Ramchal and the Gra is one approach, and they lived about 250 or 300 years ago. The Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Number two is the second is the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, and he lived about 300 years ago. And the third is the Rashash, Reb Shalom Shar Abi, who lived 250 years ago here in Yerushalayim. And he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Bet El in the Old City. Now the Ramchal I showed in the in the Sefer, I wrote a Perush, the Ramchal really is twofold. He has two different ways. He has a Perush, which is most of his Svarim, but he has the basis, which is the Divrei HaArizal, which is in the Ilan Ramchal. And that is what I published, the Ilan Ramchal, and I showed all his Mekorot, that it came from the Divrei HaArizal in the Eitz Chaim or in the Eitz Chaim. Now, the Derech of the Ramchal is a special way, is a special approach. It's called Mashal V'Nimshal. Metaphor, God leading the world. That is the Ramchal's way. And the Gra seems to go also on that way. The Baal Shem, on the other hand, which is the second approach, takes Kabbalah and it's intertwined in the God worship, in the Avodah Hashem of a person. It could be intertwined. That is the word, the Hasidic, the Baal Shem Tov, and the Hasidim are usually in that derech. The third way is the Rashash approach. The Rashash approach is by far the approach which has been accepted in the yeshivot of learning Kabbalah. Whether it be in Shara Shamayim, or whether it be in Nahar Shalom, or whether it be in Shuvi Nafshi, all these places learn according to the Rashash. And there is really almost no yeshiva that learns any other approach. The Rashash, already, like I mentioned, he lived about 250 years ago. He wrote a sefer, which was the Hakdamah, it's an introduction to his Sidur HaKavanot, HaRashash. In that Sidur, he built all of the Etz Chaim and the Shara Kavanot and all the Kisvei HaAri, all the ideas of the Arizal, he built it into that one Siddur, which is called Siddur HaRashash. And that, by far, that Siddur is used even till this day by all the Mekubalim. The Siddur HaRashash is the Siddur which captured, no question about it, it's what is used in all the yeshivot by all the Mekubalim. If you want to see how the Rashash was esteemed, how much of people, his just saying his name was of importance and his greatness, you could see on page 18 of my Oshes Chaim how the Ben Ish Chai, how he esteemed, how was important the learning of Rashash, telling a student that wanted to go to Eretz Israel and asking him, well, who can I go to learn by? So the Ben Ish Chai told him that you go to a person that can answer the questions of somebody of the Shemin Zayit on the Rashash. And if he's able to answer those questions of on the Rashash, you learn by him. And he came to Eretz Israel and he sat down and he learned by the Sadeh, the Chacham Shaul Dweck. He learned by him, he saw by him, he was the one that was able to answer these questions, these deep questions. I mean, of course, the Shemin Zayit was also a very big hacham, a very big rabbi, and he was even from his Bet Midrash, he sat with the Rashash together 300 years, 250 years ago, he sat with him in the Bet Midrash, a bit ill, but yet he had different ideas how to answer and different questions on the Rashash. And he wrote those questions down in his Sefer Shem inside. He said, and came the Ben Ish Chai and told him, listen, you go to learn by a person who can answer those questions. If he can answer those questions, then he's a rabbi that you could learn by. That was the Rashash. Oh, we have number 11. The question is, what does Kabbalah have in common with the revealed law? To answer this, the truth of the matter, you do have to learn Kabbalah. You have to taste it yourself to understand what it is common, what it has in common with the learning of the revealed law. But I'll tell you. Baruch Hashem, I've been learning it 10 years now. I'll tell you. The first thing is that you have to have sense, common sense. Like in learning Gemara, you have to have common sense and understanding and know the rules of the Gemara, know rules of how to look at things, every sugya. The same thing is in the Kabbalah. Just that the difference is, in Kabbalah, is that it's completely new concepts. It's like a person that learned Nushim and Nizikim, now he's got to learn Kochim. How is he going to learn Kochim? At the very, very beginning, for the first couple of months, he's not going to understand it, really, until he keeps on going over it and going over it. The same thing Kabbalah. Until you get to understand the concepts, it's going to take you a couple of months to understand the concepts which are different. The building blocks of Kabbalah are different than that of the revealed law. So that will take you alone, will take you a few months. A close friend of mine once asked me, tell me, Yitzhak, a close friend, tells me like this. He heads a yeshiva. He asked me, tell me, if I start learning Kabbalah, it'll make me more charedi, it'll make me more religious. So I told him, he's making a joke about it. So I told him, listen, it won't make you more charedi. Learning of Kabbalah will not make you more charedi, but it'll give you a new taste in the kiyum of your mitzvahs, your old mitzvahs that you did. All your mitzvahs, all your tefillot are going to have a new and a different taste if you learn Kabbalah. And that is what Kabbalah gives a person. Let's say a few words about what in Yaneh D'Yumah. Now we're in Sefirat HaOmer. These are the 11 questions that I tried to answer. Let's talk a little about the Omer now. These 49 days that are between Pesach and Shavuot is Sefirat HaOmer. The Rashash says in the Nahar Shalom that these days between the Omer, between Pesach and Shavuot, he says that our actions during the Omer, the whole year round is dependent on what we do during the days of the Omer. The question is, what is behind that? That idea of the Rashash, what is behind it? I think the reason is that when you look at Pesach is a miracle, is a complete chesed from Hashem. It's a chesed from Hashem that He redeemed us as Jews. But we were very passive. We didn't do anything, really. Almost nothing was done on our behalf on Pesach. But yet, after Pesach was over, you start counting the 49 days. The 49 days is the beginning of a new era. It's a positive work of ourselves, of countdown till Shavuot. It's not just getting something from Hashem. It's something that we're going to be working. We're going to work every week on our character, on our midas. We're going to have to work on them, and that way we purify ourselves to accept the Torah on Shavuot. That is the reason why the 49 days between Pesach and Shavuot are important, are very, very important, because according to your ma'asim and what you activate and you show that you're willing to go, that will make the whole year different if you utilize these 49 days, I know that learning the Daf HaYomi, is not an easy thing. Every day, day in, day out, to go and to that shiur and to make see and sit down and listen to the rabbi giving that shiur is definitely not an easy thing. But you have to understand, nothing good comes easy. The impact that it has on a person, on his wife and his children, are great. Why? Because he's dedicated himself to learning that daf, to be part of the chabura of learning the Daf HaYomi. And that in itself is a great thing. And Hashem will be Be'ezat Hashem, he should give us Bidi'ut, and he should give us a long life and health, that we should learn and be able to worship Hashem the proper way. If you want any further information about Kabbalah, you have Armoni, the number, and if you want the Sefer, or just Chaim that I published, you can also get it from Armoni. Thank you. And if you wish, if you please give this, if you think that it's beneficial, this shiro, pass it on to your friend and your, of course, your Jewish friend, okay? And pass it on, because it's part of the Zikui HaRabim. And thank you very much.